I sound good. If you would turn with me to Proverbs, the third chapter, we'll take off where we left last time. Still talking about intellect and reasoning. Last time we began to talk about the intellect and reasoning, how the mind is important. You know, a lot of people want to leave the mind out, but you cannot leave it out. It has to be involved in your decision-making skills. So it's not a fact of how to eliminate the mind, but it's more of a fact of how do we properly use our mind. In Proverbs, the third chapter, the fifth verse, begins to talk about trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your path. Listen to me, internet. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct your path. Here's the issue we have with our minds. Because we are so well made, when God made us, he didn't make no mistakes. When he made man, he didn't make any mistakes. Because we're so well made, sometimes we think we can think without him. And that's where man get in error, is when they begin to think without him. Here it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. I like this part. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all our way. Lean not to your own understanding. I'm going to say that again. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Do you realize that you can only make decisions based on the information that you have gathered? That's the only way you can make a decision. That's the only way you can make choices. Listen to me. The only way you can make choices is based on the information that you have access to. So this is why Solomon was telling us, watch this, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In other words, what it's saying is, don't lean on the information you have gathered. You must not lean on the information you have gathered because you are limited. We are limited. Watch this. We can only make decisions based on what we see, what we hear, what we already think we know. So we make a decision based on all those things. But if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, meaning trust in an infinite mind. Here it is. Let's give some of God's characteristics. The first one I want to give you is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. We know he's all-powerful, and we know he's everywhere. All-knowing. So if God is all-knowing, that means there's nothing that can escape his realm of information. So now this is why I have to trust in the Lord, because sometimes I'm going to get from God information that I have no other means to have access to but by him. And sometimes that information is going to be so far in left field that I'm not even going to know how it fits my current situation. That's why I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to what I understand. And acknowledge him in all thy ways and what it says he'll do. He'll direct your path. So One of the crucial mistakes that we as Christians do is we do not acknowledge God in all our ways. Even some things we know we should do, we should still acknowledge Him, because just maybe, God might know a better way to do it. For some strange reason, He may. You know, I don't know. He just might figure out a more efficient way to do something. He might figure out a more intelligent way to do something. Just maybe. But if we don't acknowledge Him, which means, what it means to acknowledge Him? Even though I got a clue or I may think I know what to do, I'm going to pause and give Him a chance to confirm or add on to. When I do that, it gives me a chance to access the mind of God. Remember, Isaiah 1 and 18, he says, come let us what? Reason together. It says, though your sins or your actions be as scarlet, it should be white as snow. Are you seeing this? We jump to verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you should either get a lamb, but how can you be willing and obedient to what you don't know? How can you be willing and obedient to information you have no access to? That's why we have to come reason with God. Let your thoughts go to Romans 12. See, this is the purpose of spending time with God. This is the reason for on purpose taking time to spend with Him. Romans the 12th chapter. We're going to be going to this scripture over and over again. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what renewing of your mind does? You can prove. Let's deal with this word prove. You can recognize the will of God. Without your mind being renewed, internet, you cannot recognize the will of God. If you don't come, this is what it means by come let us reason together. Come let us reason together. God is saying, come let us put our thoughts together, because when you do that, you won't conform to the world's way of doing things. I'm going to shift you into a supernatural way of doing things. I'm going to shift you into an idea, into a concept, into an intellect that man can't get access on his own. Then you'll be able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. An undeniable, undefeatable, irrefutable path to victory. When you allow your mind to be included with God's mind. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this what? Mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Other words, no, let's get the mind of God on something. Because if Jesus, watch this now, listen at me. If Jesus had not exemplified Romans 12 and 2, then he had no right to die for us. What I mean exemplify Romans 12 and 2? Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and acceptable will of God. What you think the Garden of Gethsemane was about? The Garden of Gethsemane was about Jesus renewing his mind, because the first question Jesus asked was, God, if this cup can pass, let it pass. But then he came back and said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. So, in other words, Jesus allowed his mind to cohabitate with God's mind so that he can get God's thought on his situation. When he got God's thought on what was supposed to happen, then he had, watch this now, what I said earlier, an undeniable, undefeatable, irrefutable pathway to victory. So once Jesus made up his mind, this is the way God wants to go, this is the way I have to go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he'll do what? So when God directs your path, when God directs your path, he only directs your path into victory. So when Jesus made up his mind, once he allowed his mind to be renewed, are you seeing this? Once he let his mind be renewed, the cross was only a pathway to get to where God wanted to be. It was impossible for Satan to keep him in the grave. When he made up his mind, God, I'm going to go your way. I'm going to do it the way you want it done. Listen to me, Annette. It was done. The sacrifice, everything was done at that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. The rest of it was Jesus going through the motions. Are you seeing this? So Jesus is not asking us or informing us or telling us to do something that he hadn't done. That's why I said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says he humbled himself. Humbled himself meaning he took what he thought and he understood and submitted it to what God wanted. Understand, under the word understand means to understand. Stand meaning a stance. Under. I'm going to stand under. So in other words, when you say you understand something, that means you're willing to take your thoughts and submit to it. That's why I don't understand homosexuality. See, that's why I don't. See, when somebody come talking about trying to. No, that ain't what the Bible says. So, no, I don't understand. I'm not about to take my thoughts and submit to that foolishness and let you tell. See, are you understanding the word understanding? It doesn't just mean clarity. It means that you're going to take your thoughts and submit it to another point of view. So that's why he says, lean not to your own understanding. Don't be staunch and steadfast in just your way of thinking because it's limited. But when you trust in the Lord with all thine heart, heart is a combination of your mind and your spirit. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart, that means you open up the door for your understanding to be expanded. Otherwise, now you are given something that you can submit your thoughts to. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, meaning I trust him. God is always right. God is all knowing. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. So when I trust in him and I'm willing to submit my thoughts to his, that means I'm going to gain an undeniable, undefeated, irrefutable pathway to victory. Are you seeing this? So we have to get in the habit of asking God which way you want to go. How do you want to do it? Most people don't even take, go to James 1 and 5. Most people don't even take James 1 and 5 serious. James 1 and 5 is in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, I can use it. But most people will not use James 1 and 5. And I'm going to tell you why they don't use James 1 and 5. We have to get in the habit of asking God questions. God don't mind you asking him questions. What God has a problem with is when you ask a question, he gives you an answer and you go another direction. That's the issue. God don't mind you asking all the, listen to me, Ned. He doesn't mind you asking all the questions you want to ask. It's just that when he give an answer and you go, here it is. If any of you, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you don't know what to do, don't know how to do it, don't know the right timing, what it says to do? Let him ask of God
that give it to all men liberally. Other words, give it to them freely. God is not holding no information back from you. God is not holding no information. He's not holding the idea for freedom from you. He's not holding back from you about any relationships you have or you want. He's not holding back from you how to get your health. He's not holding any of that back from you. But we got to learn to ask him questions. If you don't know what to do, you got to ask him questions. But watch this. Listen at me. Ego and pride will cause you not to ask questions. Ego and pride and your limited thinking you know how to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. When he tells us over and over, we hear in James 1 and 5, if any man lack wisdom, here it is, Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Or you see, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. So God is really beckoning us to come talk to him. He's beckoning us. He's signaling us to come and talk to him. A lot of stuff we don't know, but we refuse to ask questions. Why we refuse to ask questions? Because number one, they think they already know the answer. And two, because they think God won't answer them. And both of those reasons are faulty. If you already knew what to do, why you ain't went done it? And if you did do it, how they worked out for you? Most times you dig yourself a deeper hole. Because there are so many factors that are involved. First of all, when we have to make decisions, one of the factors that are involved with us making decisions is that we can never make a decision, we can never make a choice, and people around us won't be affected. We can never make a decision, and other people have already made other decisions that may counteract our current decisions. See, sometimes we as humans, we think with tunnel vision. We don't even realize how many other factors are involved when we make a decision. Sometimes we make a decision that the people around us, we needed to make another decision based on this decision. So we make a decision, expecting them to make a certain decision, and they don't make that decision. Now we're in a hole. But if we get the mind of God, God could have told us, hey, don't do that. Why not do it? Well, God, why not do it? Well, maybe this person ain't going to do this. This person ain't going to do that. That person ain't going to do what they say they're going to do. So now you saved yourself a lot of heartache and trouble because you've consulted God. You've trusted the Lord with all your heart, and you didn't lean to what you perceive, to your limited knowledge, to your limited information, intake of information. Are you seeing this? The Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Wait a minute, all you're getting, get understanding, is only one place you can get more understanding than you have now, and that's from God. You can't, I mean, who else do you need to consult with? Somebody who knows everything, is everywhere, and is all powerful. Not only does he know everything, not only is he everywhere, but he's all powerful. So whatever answer he gives you will override any other power, any other attack that may try to come against your life. See, this is simple, people. This is not rocket science. This is simple. What we have issue with, our ego and our pride. We won't ask God questions. So when we don't ask God questions, God is not obligated to answer us. Are you seeing this? God is not obligated. See, it was very simple for Adam and Eve. If they wanted to know about evil, all they had to do was ask God. They had to eat off the tree. All they had to do was ask God. He's sitting there, he know everything.
He'd expose them to because God was going to have to. He would expose them to evil in a very protected manner, Why? Because he was going to have what he told them, be fruitful and what? So that means after a while, he's going to let them go outside of Eden and begin to replicate what they have experienced and what they were going to face outside of Eden. Evil. So if they'd have asked God, they'd know how to deal with evil in a supernatural format. Are you seeing about to get in the mind of God as compared to getting your own mind? They got their own mind about evil. And now they got it. So since, okay, God says, since you choose that pathway, listen, man, since you've chosen that pathway, now you're going to have to be responsible for your outcome. See, here's the thing about God. When you hear the voice of God and you look for the voice of God and you hear the voice of God and you aim to hear the voice of God, when God speaks to you and you obey him, God is now responsible for the outcome. He's responsible for what happens. When Jesus made up in his mind in that Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, those are the words, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. When he said that, God was now responsible for getting him up on that third day. So Jesus getting up was inevitable. Why? Because it started off with Jesus making up his mind, I'm going to do what God, first of all, find out what God wants. Because remember now, you got to remember now, Jesus was a human like us. So he had second thoughts about this cross thing. He had second thoughts about this cross thing. Jesus was like, God, I know they've been prophesying this for so many years. I read all the scrolls, God, you know, I see all that. But if you can do this another way, that's what Jesus was saying. God, if you can do this another way, you know, now's the time to speak up. But then Jesus said, Lord, no, nevertheless. You need to have some neverthelesses in your life. Lord, I think this is the way I'm supposed to go. Lord, is some other way? You know what, God? You know what? I'm yielded. I'm going to do it your way. And what you've just created, your undefeatable, undeniable, irrefutable pathway to victory. Are you seeing this? In every situation you're in, there's always going to be some element about it that you don't know. There's always going to be some element in every situation you're dealing with that you're not going to know about. There's going to be some element of mystery. But thank God that he knows everything. Because if there's a mystery or element of something unknown, all I got to go is to my Father who what? Knows everything. And trust him enough that when he speaks, I listen. James 1 and 5, go back. I need to go back and deal with that. James 1 and 5. Watch this now. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men. In other words, God is not, he didn't discriminate. He ain't got no specials. If you ask him, he'll tell you. And then once he tells you, he can't change. That's what upbraided not mean. Meaning he won't change. In other words, you can bet everything. You can bet the farm. You can bet everything. You can bet your future. When God speaks to you about doing something, you can bet everything on it that whatever the outcome is going to be to your favor. And it shall be given him. Now, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So in other words, God is saying, don't waste my time. Now that's funny coming from God, because God got forever. But in other words, God said, listen, if you ain't going to do what I'm telling you to do, don't ask me.
And we all face this. Some people come to us for opinions, come to us for advice. And you know, you come to your advice because you've been through it. So you tell them, hey, this is what you need to do. And they don't do it. And the outcome is exactly what they did. Nothing. Then they come back to you and want you to fix it again. I'm not dealing with it twice. Had a friend who I caught out. It took me a while to catch on to it, but he would call, and every time he called, it would be just problem. We're talking about another problem. We're talking about problem. And I started noticing the same problems over and over. And so I would give him advice and would do this, do this, come back the same problems. Listen, I'm not about to be your dumping grounds. When you come dump all this stuff on me, and now I'm up at night thinking about this stuff, and you going on about your business. God is not our dumping grounds. God doesn't have time for us to be dumping stuff on him and not hearing his voice. So you know what God gonna do? If you keep asking God and keep talking to God and God keep telling you what to do and you don't do it, he gonna stop talking until you do what he asked you to do. Are you seeing this? See, God is not God. See, God, when God speaks, his word ought to be so precious to us that it takes precedent over everything else. And so when you don't do, so using me as an example, when that guy kept calling me and talking about his problem and saying, man, what should I do? And he don't do it. That means my advice wasn't important to him. So guess what? We should not talk no more. If you call me, we're going to talk about the football game. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about that. We ain't talking about your problems. Because you ain't about to have me up all night worrying about this and you dumped and gone about it and you're going to do what you want to do anyway. Are y'all seeing this? See, we have to get in the habit of asking God what to do. Asking God. Here's another key word that you're going to have to grab a hold of. Revelation knowledge. The church is void of revelation knowledge. The church is void of revelation knowledge. Void of it. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. First Corinthians, the second chapter, revelation knowledge is important. Now listen, when I'm talking about revelation knowledge, I'm talking about information about your current situation that you couldn't have gotten no other way but unless God talked to you. I think it's John, the 17th chapter. Go to John, the 17th chapter. I think that's it. And we'll come back to 1 Corinthians. Let me find it right quick. It's the scripture. I want you to see something that made a difference in Peter's life. Go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. It's Matthew, the 16th chapter. We see something that made a difference in Peter's life. And I think this is what kept Peter when he denied Jesus three times, was this moment here. This moment right here is, I believe, what kept Peter. When Jesus came back from the grave and came to first, he looked for Peter. He looked for Peter. He said, Peter, you're going to feed my sheep? You're going to feed? And then Peter said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I believe this moment here is what kept Peter. Because remember now, Peter denied Jesus three times. Started cussing, saying, I don't know him. Why? He was scared for his life. But I believe this moment is what set Peter up for when Jesus, this moment is what made Jesus get up and come back looking for Peter. Watch this. Talk about revelation knowledge now. Revelation knowledge. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, here we're about to see two sets of information. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So now, Jesus shifted from what other people were saying to who do you say that I am? Watch this now. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what is so peculiar about this is because Jesus didn't tell nobody who he was. Go back and read all the early part of Matthew. Jesus ain't never called nobody, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah. He didn't say that to anybody. All they know about Jesus is, here comes somebody, come out the blue, start performing miracles. We don't know where he got this power from. We don't know who he is. But he is, stuff happening. Everywhere he goes, stuff happens. And here it is, Jesus finally trying to get them to understand two sources of information. Man and God. They start saying what other people were saying about Jesus. Jesus then turned around and said, who do you say that I am? Watch this. Thou art the Christ, verse 16. The Son of the living God. Now watch what Jesus said to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, the human mind without God, flesh and blood, watch this, has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This was a strange experience for Peter. Because how can Peter know who this is other than God telling him? This is major for Peter. Because now Peter had his own, see this was about something about the supernatural. Some things can be taught, but most of it got to be caught. It has to be through revelation knowledge. It has to be through God revealing his mind to you. Apostle can teach us some things, but it's not until the Holy Spirit breathes on them and we catch them that it becomes alive to us, it becomes revelation knowledge to us. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now listen to what he says. Verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. Not Peter the rock. This rock, talking about this process. What process? This process of you not knowing information, you going to God and God revealing it to you, and now you know. So now you can act on it. Are you hearing me, internet? That process. What's the process? The process of I'm in a situation, I don't know what to do. James 1 and 5. I lack wisdom. I go to God, right? God gives me the information, gives me what to do liberally. I do it, and I get the results I want. Jesus said, watch this. Jesus said this. He said, upon this process, I will build my church. So the church is not going to be built by man's strategy. It's going to be built by us not knowing what to do. We asking God what to do. We doing what God asks and getting God results. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Undeniable, undefeatable, irrefutable pathway to victory. Watch this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see this? Jesus just told Peter the key to how we get victory in our life. Talking about reasoning and intellect. We asking God to help us when we don't know what to do. We acknowledging God in all our ways. We acknowledge Him in all our ways. And what it says, we acknowledge Him in all our ways, what He's going to do? Direct our path. That's what the scripture is saying. That's what the scripture is saying. Jesus even went further and said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So watch this. Walking with God has just become easier. Because you have two information that will help you realize which way to go. Number one, if you ever hear anything that goes against what God has promised you, if you go against, if anything comes and gives you information about a lie, anything about anything that God has promised you, you can automatically know that it's coming to pass. Anytime Satan talks to you, you automatically know it's coming to pass. How I know that? Because he's a liar. He can't tell the truth. He can't tell the truth. So anytime Satan comes to you with something, you can already take the stance, okay, that's about to happen in my life. So now, listen to me. This is where faith comes from now. This is where faith is built. Okay, now I know that this is about to happen in my life. Now I have to get God's divine order on how He wants to happen. So now I go to Him, get His mind on the situation, begin to walk it out like He would if He was here, and I have my irrefutable, undeniable, undefeatable pathway to victory. Is that not simple? That's why you need your mind. That's why you need your intellect and your reasoning so that you can have enough sense to go to God and talk to Him when you don't know what to do. Here I am, closing in. Here I am. My son is born, middle son is born. And we take him for his first checkup, to the doctor, it was a pediatrician. And she measured his head and she was like, something ain't right about this. She said, measure it again. Something ain't right. So now she comes and tells us, listen, we got a problem. His head is not growing properly. So now she's telling I, we like, man, what the world will happen? We don't know what to do. So immediately I've trained myself. God, what are we going to do about this? What am I going to do about this situation? What am I going to do about this? This is what God told me immediately. He said, I want you to go to your accounts, clear them out, and sow a seed. So I went to my accounts, cleared them out, sow a seed. Went back the next week. The doctor said, oh, I must have made a mistake. His head is now growing properly. She didn't make no mistake. She measured it twice. This is God telling me what to do. I do it, and I get an undeniable, irrefutable, undefeatable pathway to victory. That's as hard as it gets. That's how hard it's going. I don't know what to do. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Go back to Romans 12. We're closing here. Romans 12. Here's the problem. We're going to take up here next week. Here's the problem. Go back to Romans 12. Here's the problem that most people have. Most Christians have. Here's the problem most Christians have. Romans 12 and 2 say, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. Right? What it says after that? By the renewing of your mind, so what? That's key. That's key. That's key. That ye may prove. Now, to be clearer, to make it clear, I need you to see that word as recognize. That's important. Recognize. Recognize. So you can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The problem with most Christians is they can't recognize the voice of God. Why they can't recognize the voice of God? Because they wait to learn the voice of God under pressure situations. When you wait to learn to learn the voice of God under pressure situations, you got a bunch of voices talking to you. And you can't discern which one is his. Because you got to remember now, Satan talking to you too. And sometimes Satan will not lie to you, just giving you outright indirect truth. Sometimes he's going to give you a pathway to go that ain't God. Hear me. Sometimes Satan will tell you go and you, and because you can't recognize the voice of God, listen, Jesus spent time with God. So when Satan started quoting scriptures to him, he was able to recognize, oh, just because you quote scripture to me, don't mean I'm about to listen to what you say. Why? Because Jesus had just come out the wilderness, spending 40 days spending time with God, so he could recognize the voice of God. Under a pressure situation, he was hungry, had not eaten, and here it is, Satan offering him the very thing he needs. Under a pressure situation, he was able to recognize the voice of God and recognize what the voice of God. Why? Because when he wasn't under pressure, he was spending time learning the voice of God. Real quick, how do I learn to recognize the voice of God? Because this is, how do I learn to recognize the voice of God? Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Now, just reading on the surface, my sheep hear my voice. You got to read behind what Jesus is saying. Jesus used the word sheep on purpose. Used the word sheep on purpose. He used the word sheep on purpose because if you study sheep, shepherds have to spend time with the sheep. When they first get together with a herd of sheep, they live with the sheep. They sleep outside with the sheep. They spend all their time 24/7 with the sheep. Why? So the sheep can recognize their voice. So therefore, a sheep can hear the shepherd's voice and hear another voice and will follow the voice of the shepherd. So in other words, Jesus is saying, my followers, my disciples will hear my voice. That's not a promise. That is a principle. If you become a follower of Jesus, follower of his word, Romans 12 and 2, when you begin to become transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will learn to recognize the voice of God. It has nothing to do with decibels. Listen to me, it has nothing to do with decibels hearing God. It has everything to do with relationship and fellowship. See, here we go with here. See, that word here throws us off because when we see the word here, we automatically thinking he's. We thinking sound. But that ain't what Paul said. Paul said, when you renew your mind with the word of God, when you renew your mind, you'll be able to recognize. So that means you could be talking to a straight enemy and recognize that they're giving you insight. And they don't know they're giving it to you. Because you're not listening for instructions, you're recognizing instructions. Why? Because I've been spending time with the Father in prayer, in the word. And so he's been talking to me in our private times. So now when I'm in a situation, I can recognize his voice. I don't have to worry about trying to hear his voice. I can recognize it. Because in pressure situations, you're going to be hearing a lot of things. You're going to be hearing opinion from other people. You're going to be hearing voices from the devil. You're going to be hearing your voice. So you got to be able to recognize the voice of God. So this is why you need your reasoning and your intellect. Because your reasoning and your intellect gives you a chance to get inside the mind of God. It gives you a chance to put your thoughts with God. It gives you a chance to acknowledge him in all your ways. It gives you a chance to pick the mind of God about your situation. And when you do that, God has promised, if you ask me what to do, I'm going to tell you. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He give it to you liberally and won't change it. So there's no such thing as you cannot find an answer to your situation. There's no such thing. You can always, listen to that, you can always find an answer to your situation. All you need is revelation knowledge. Knowledge, we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 and 10 next week. And I want you to read it for yourself. You see, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, knee has come to understand things that God has planned for you. It says, but it's revealed unto us by his Spirit. You're seeing this. So if revelation knowledge, if what I can't see, I can't hear, I hadn't even dreamed about, is going to be revealed to me by his Spirit, then that means I got to learn how to recognize the Spirit's voice. And if I don't recognize the Spirit's voice, if I don't train myself to recognize the Spirit's voice, yeah, you have to train yourself. If I don't train myself to hear the Spirit's voice, then I'm not going to be able to get revelation knowledge. Because revelation knowledge just don't just show up. Revelation knowledge is only given to those that pursue after. I'll see you all next week. I receive.